PC meeting, June 5th, 2017.
So, Commissioner Arlen.
Carolyn Melvin, Maryland.
Denise Grunsch, Suitland, Maryland, Vice Chair of Metro Access.
Thank you very much. Yes, okay. Kind of low to you.
Okay.
Okay, all right, very good. Next on the agenda, I have approval of the agenda. Do we have any additions to the agenda before we go to our guest speaker? Any additions to the agenda? Any additions to the agenda? Do I have an approval to accept the agenda as presented?
Sure.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed and those abstaining. Okay. So tonight, as we've had in the past, General Manager is here to talk to us for a little bit and take your questions. He's informed me tonight that he can only stay until 6. Usually we keep him here until at least 7. But tonight he does have to leave at 6. So, Mr. Wheatfeld, thank you for coming very much.
Thank you, Patrick, and it's good to be here again. I'd like to thank the entire committee for their time and effort for Metro. Appreciate it. I will be very brief. I will open it up for any questions or issues you want to bring to my attention. But I do want to draw attention to what I released on April 19th, a proposal I call Keeping Metro Safe, Reliable, Affordable. Basically, it's an action plan for the next 10 years to meet the regional transit needs of the Washington metropolitan area. It primarily focuses on the capital and operating issues facing Metro. And we put forward a 10-point plan, 5 on the capital side and 5 on the operating side to deal with some of these issues. May not agree with all of them. May hopefully agree with some of them. But regardless, I hope we do agree that the time to act is now. We have to deal with some of the, particularly the longer-term needs of the system on the capital side that have been deferred and the age of the system that need to be addressed. And on the operating side, we have to deal with some core issues that are driving those costs up very steeply into the future, which then eventually impacts the amount of customer, the amount of service we provide and fares and everything else. So that's why it's important that we deal with those. Anything I would have want to ask, that if there's anything that you individually or as a committee can do to push along these concepts, I would appreciate it, because again, I think now it's the time to speak up on these things, because I really do believe we do have an opportunity to address issues that have been talked about for a number of years, if not decades, but I think they've finally come to roost and we have to deal with them. So with that, we'd like to take any questions or comments or suggestions you might have.
Thank you, sir. Okay. We can go around the table. That would be good. What do you think?
You're back.
Okay. Albert, to my right.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Board, for being here again. I just want to say that I have seen myself during all these 2 or 3 months, really, the way that the improvement in terms of accessibility, in terms of how I go, how I face the situation, it is more, I see the progress more than it was in the past. I just want to maybe highlight the fact that we have had a visit of different board members, and we have extended the invite for them to go with us at some point during next day to ride the metro and or the bus together. It could be a group or it could be individually. So I want to extend the invite to you as well. I do know that you ride the metro and the bus. I haven't seen you, but I would like to maybe, if it is feasible, that we can do, then you can witness how the access is for us, for a person who uses a wheelchair, or a person who is deaf and have to communicate with the station manager, for a person who uses crutches, etc., etc. There are different kind of abilities, and we have to just find the way to make this more accessible. And if you can get that kind of view by your own riding with one of us or with us, that would be very appreciated. So I just want to extend the invite, and I do know that at some point we are going to have a follow-up about this and when it's going to be done.
Okay. I have done that in the past, but I'd be glad to do it as well. So I'll say something else.
Thank you.
Thank you. Charlie?
Yes.
Charlie, you're up next, sir.
Thank you. Now, first of all, let me point out that having observed folks in government for many years now, I'm really impressed with the fact that you say something and it actually happens. Not only that, but the credibility you have built up over the time you've been here is real. And so, for my part, I think for the biggest part, I mentioned to say, we really do appreciate the input you give us because it is real input. Having said all of that, it's not the other foot dropping, but you mentioned 10-year plan. And I'd be concerned as to the extent to which there'll be service interruptions at the level that we've had them over the last year. Is that going to happen, or is that going to be diminished or what?
Thank you, Mr. Crawford, for your comments. They will not occur to the degree that we have with State Track. But the only caveat I put to that is if we do find anything that is of safety nature, that we will address it. And unfortunately, that may lead to whatever it leads to. But I think that's a commitment that I made to the region and to the riders, and I'm going to stick to it. But we don't see anything like that. We are starting the preventive maintenance program starting June 25th. And hopefully we won't find anything systemic. We'll find issues, I'm sure. But we also, which we are rolling out, is we have major parts of the system that are aging out that have to be dealt with. So we will do those on a regular basis, just as they come along. But we don't see anything nearly what we had to deal with Safe Track. We're a little weeks, 3 years of work into 1 year.
Thanks, sir. Randy, I think you're up next.
No, Brianne.
Oh, it's Brianne. Okay, Brianne, you're up next. I'm sorry. Thank you, Bill.
Hi, my name is Brianne Roger. I'm just checking in because I arrived late. They just traffic. I have no comment at the time. Sorry, I missed what you had to say. I'm sure it was very important. I wish you could repeat because of a lot of traffic. But thank you.
Thank you, Brianne. Randy, you're up next. Thank you. Seems to be okay more or less with the services you offer in general, with the understanding of communication between the driver and the deafblind individuals. That seems to be the one area that they struggle with. And apparently a lot of drivers, I guess, don't know simple techniques to be able to communicate between the deafblind individual and themselves. For example, using the palm, print on palm, so you can just write out a letter on the palm of your hand and use that to spell out a word. A lot of drivers seem to be uncomfortable with that or not interested in trying that technique to communicate. And also in regards to policies, there seems to be a policy that drivers are not allowed to touch the people with disabilities, and so that seems to be another area which causes communication difficulty with the deafblind riders. Another issue is that there's not really information between the deafblind individuals and the actual metro, train, or the bus, so they don't have access to the information. So if there's any kind of serious announcement, unfortunately, the deafblind individual has no clue about that. So, some people are able to look at the signage or may have some residual hearing and may try to piece together what they're able
able to see or hear, but oftentimes are left in the dark, so to speak, because they don't know what's going on. And it's difficult to be able to tell if there's an announcement being made or not. Sometimes they can try to tell based on people's facial expressions that they're reacting to some kind of announcement, but it's often difficult to gauge. Also, there's been elevator issues. It's been difficult for deafblind individuals to be able to find where the elevator is located, because there doesn't seem to be any kind of way navigation that leads us to where the elevators are. So often we are waiting, and there is technology available that could make navigation a lot easier. Maybe some kind of beacon that would have that light up and have an arrow that would show the route to where the elevator is or something like that. And I'm sure there's a lot more examples, but at the moment, this is what comes to mind. But I think you kind of get the picture.
Thank you, Randy.
I know Christian, both Christians are working on all those issues at different levels. They can talk to that. But I think just in general, what I'm hearing is, we've got to continually work to improve the experience for the entire community. That's what I'm hearing.
Thank you. Yes, making sure that when we do communication, we think of everybody, visually impaired, hearing impaired, all disability groups, universal access, and we're here to help with that. Thank you. Phil, you're on next up.
Hello, and thank you for coming. I have three quick issues that I'll hit on, one of which I've already brought up to the system of this. And I just wanted to make you aware that we used to have this wonderful practice of putting the station ahead of this thing on the pylon, on the platform, where a low-vision person could easily see it. Now they're posting them on a sign on the wall, past the retaining wall, or up on top of an advertising board about 6'8" in the air that a low-vision person can't see. Now they have asked me to compile a list of the stations that I've observed, which I'm doing, and I will submit, but I just wanted to make you aware that the practice in the beginning is perfect, but they all need to improve on the wheel. Just one quick answer to why at the New Street Cardozo station they took out the escalators from the street to the mezzanine and from the mezzanine to the platform. And the street elevator is about half the size of one of these tables. It says it has a capacity of 12, and I've counted like 20 people coming out of them. So it's just a matter of time before that elevator breaks down. So why would they take out all the elevators? And on the 10th Street side, I don't know if they're always out, but they were out the other night. And my third one is on behalf of my control board members. A lot of people are coming here from work. They don't have time to do anything but rush here. You all have eliminated the little snacks that we used to get, and I don't understand why we are being treated like second-class citizens, because I know your board of directors continues to eat at the meal table. So I just want to make you aware of that as well.
I will get to
that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Kay, you're up next.
I will just bring up an issue that happened this evening, not the first time the main yard metro station, there was no way to get into it without walking down the stairs on the DOT side. I made it here by going to the baseball stadium side, but not everybody can do that easily. So there were no escalators running and there was long-term work being done at the elevator. So it was inaccessible.
Actually, what I was going to ask Mr. Blake if he wants to comment on this, but so are you saying then that the part of the station that you use is a mezzanine entrance that did not have someone to attend? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying the street escalators were all.
Okay, the street escalators.
And the elevators.
Okay,
gotcha. And the elevator. Yep.
Okay. We'll look into that as well.
Thank you, Christian.
The key there is to make sure that we have someone, a maintenance person there, since you don't have any the only option is to go all the way to the other side. So to make sure, I'll find out if there's anything going on. I don't know where they're going with that, but we should be on top of that. may happen, but we should have to see it every year long.
I don't know how immediate or how efficiently the problem with the escalator, how we're going to really try to get to it.
I was just here recently, I noticed it the other day, it was working, but I thought I'd make sure we have a couple of that, so I'll just double check.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ed, you're up next.
Yeah, thank you for coming. In light of some of those things that are going on in France and the UK, are there any additional things that are being done to make things safer with not only the surface transportation, but also the rail?
There are, obviously this is something that we monitor minute by minute, fortunately in today's world. So there's information that we're getting, things that we look at, when there's some lessons learned, what are things that maybe the scene. So we continue to do that. Our next exercise is around that type of event. Our next one is the event from June 20th, where we're coming with a little bit of event materials on the side, just so that we can practice it. And that is, unfortunately, something that we just continue to do. Just practice. God forbid, that something does occur. There are things that we're doing to step up security and, again, some things you'll see and won't see with our people. But it is something that we, as an industry, are dealing with, not just us.
Thank you. Thank you. Doris, you're up next.
Yes, thank you for being here. And I do want to mention that there are at some low check ways of providing greater or continued accessibility in subway, and some of my colleagues have mentioned them, particularly tactile signage and elevators, and the signage raised letter and tactile rail, that is, on the pylons for the directions of the train and upcoming stations. But I also wanted to ask you about the 10-year plan, primarily to ask you, could you briefly, I don't recognize, describe for us some of the elements that are in there that will enhance accessibility, and I hope including lighting, which is very important for safety and access. But in addition to telling us about that, I'm wondering if you can tell us what the process might be, since this is the capital budget, for going ahead to be put in the priorities for the Transportation Planning Board, since at least two of us here are serving there and want to advocate.
Sure. In terms of the types of projects, it's the overall reliability, whether it's elevators and escalators, whether it's the trains themselves, and obviously lighting and just the physical plant and keeping up with that, which we haven't been doing. So a lot of the work that's proposed is around those just basic issues that if they don't work, like the escalators at Navy Yard, that's the impact it has on all of our customers. So that's what it's trying to do, is get ahead of those things before they break down as best we can. In terms of the TPD, I am actually meeting, presenting to the COG, I think in next Monday or the Monday after, to sort of present the plan. And they've been very supportive. We've been working with them very closely. As you know, they have their own effort that they've been doing. I'm primarily focusing on the capital side. We're looking at the capital and operating. So we're working very close with Chuck Bean and his entire staff, and also with the committee chairs. So I think you'll see it come up through that normal process that they have, and we're feeding them information to support them.
Will there be a presentation on the agenda?
Yes.
For the off of it as well.
Yes. Yes, I believe it is. I believe it will be. And if not, we'll settle them.
Thank you, sir. Tab, you're up next.
Yes, I just came in. I'm sorry to be late. I'm Tab Banerjee, I'm the chairman of the Fairfax County Executive Services Board, also a member of the AAC panel here. Mr. General Manager, recently there was a conference held in the Germany on International Transportation Forum. And there were some very interesting suggestions were made that how to adjust the budget for local transportation systems such as Omaha or Paris or London. And because there's shortage of budget, shortage of funding, and not depending on from the central government to be funded all the time. So some kind of thinking of out of the system to get some funding available, such as maybe talking to the such as Virginia or Maryland state governors to see if they like to increase the property tax for the places to generate to the stations, metro stations. In other words, suggested that sales tax, which I think we're talking about right now, in Virginia they're talking about that. Another one suggested maybe we should increase the cost of the ticket, the fare, because it's true that when fare is increased, people don't like it. But after a month or two or a year, they'll forget it. And it should increase based on the cost of living in other states. Now, have you ever been talked to discuss these issues with the board of directors of Omaha, or the governors of Maryland, or Virginia, or the mayor of Washington, D.C., or they're thinking this process? This came from the International Forum.
Yes, sir.
One more question. You're hosting also this in December, I think, in the US, Washington, D.C.
Have a good 5 minutes.
Yeah, they, we are, I have been talking to elected officials, different stakeholders across the entire region, but I'm focusing on the needs part of it in terms of the individual mechanisms that they will use that may be different in different jurisdictions. I don't think that's my expertise, but I think it's where I've got to get them to is to understand what the needs are. And then let them work through their local politics and what they need to do to support it. The board does have a policy to look at fares every 2 years. You know, as part of that, so that's a policy, state policy that they currently have. But, you know, as you know, we're having increase that starts in a few weeks, so, you know, I wouldn't see that for another 2 years. But the issues I'm talking about in terms of fees are beyond anything we can cover with fares. It's just a scale of things. But we will continue to work to educate about what the needs are. But again, I'm not getting into, you know, the different sources. I think that's a better lesson for local decision makers.
Thank you, sir. Phil, you're up next.
Yes, believe it or not, I have one. One financial, which is basically something we've talked about before, and that is we currently have one dry bus rail day. I am on one. I'm really much. We have multi-ride bus rail passes, but we don't have multi-ride metro access passes. And it would be really nice if we could develop something for metro access, similar to the choo-choo ride pass that you have on the trail that goes that go 3 days a week or 2 days a week for dialysis or on subscription rides to work. The other ones are safety issues. And one safety issue is on the signage, which has an easy fix. I've complained about this for several years. None of the signs tell you where the intercoms are. On certain of the models, it's easy. The intercom is right next to the sign. It's easy to find. But on the 4,000, 5,000 order at the end of the cars, and it's rush hour, people don't know where to find them. When they do find them, there's confusion as to whether they hold the switch down or they just press it once. And the signs have been fixed, which is good, but the intercoms themselves don't have that. So putting on the word once would really make it useful for the ones that are in the project. The typical person knows you from CBT, which is not wrong. So that would be a safety issue. The other one that I don't know how we fix it, but we have the parking spaces for the wheelchairs at the middle course. There's a big sign on the middle course that says no bicycles. The reason for that is it blocks the doors. In an emergency, when you evacuate, the last people off the car are going to be in wheelchairs. And even when the people go off the car, the wheelchair stays behind and blocks the exit to get out in the emergency. And I have not been able to convince the engineers, as we discussed this, ever since the 7,000 series in the new plant, they insist on putting out the doors rather than the ambulances. And I see it as a facility issue for the wheelchair people because they have access to two cars that is the end of the course, at the end of the course. Only one of it's in the middle. But in an emergency, they're stuck blocking everybody's exit. And so, you know, maybe you could talk to the engineers and do something about that. And just one for information, last week we got off of McPherson Square and there was a sign at the station that said at 8 o'clock, the east end of the station will be closed. There was no notice online about that. The first time we saw it was when we got off the train. And then there weren't any signs as how to get to the west side of the station. It's fixed now because that was drilled, but they need a little bit better information when they're going to close the stations for any length of time, other than just to sign that reputation.
In the future, I don't know how we're going to push it, but let's make sure we're closing down the stations that they run, they're planned by you. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can come out of that perspective if you would. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good. Thank you. Carolyn, you're
welcome. Thanks for the comment. I have one more thing. Out of this, I like to ride a bus, ride a metro, and I like to ride Jumbo. You know what I'm saying?
It's good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. And Donish, your last.
Thank you for coming again.
No, he's not.
Thank you for coming in again. And my concern is that we purchased some buses and nobody talked to the AAC committee to get our input before they were purchased. I don't know how that happened, but when the 700 series cars, we had 20. Suggestions and they used 19 of them. I thought the committee was the advisory committee and didn't get any advice from us.
I will make sure that that occurs in the future.
That is true, and I have to take responsibility for that, but I'm going to tell you just a little context for the committee that we ran the fleet that everyone has been used to for the last 10 years for an extra year because we were notified that the manufacturer was no longer producing this particular van, the E350, and the product that was purchased is the next generation of Ford product that was available. One of the things that's difficult is that when you're given a choice of one, and basically said, this is the new body that you have to work with. There were not many opportunities for us to make changes or adaptations to this vehicle because it is the first year run of a new body. And we were also kind of working a little bit against time because we want to adhere to keeping the older vehicles replaced on time. And because of this, you know, obviously we have to, you know, we've extended their life by 1 year. Some of the vans in service now are 5 years old. We generally replace them after 4 years. So we really had to move very quickly on this year's batch of vehicles that we had to purchase. But as far as in the future, the general manager is saying is that you know, this is an annual event with our capital budget, and we are going to be working with the committee, and in fact, we're going to be bringing Ford out here to take feedback directly from us and from the community on this design, because they told us that that they did involve the disability community when they put this original design together. And I said, I bet that the disability community in Washington, D.C. is going to have more perspective than you probably have heard. So we have persuaded them that it's in their interest to come out and meet with us, because if they do a good job and they get your support, that perhaps we'll be able to continue in the same direction. But that's our explanation for how this happened this year.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I wonder if the AAC committee know that I did do a mystery ride with the Inspector General. It was not a John Doe ride, but we did do a ride together from my job home. At the Metro Access meeting, I will go into detail because Mr. the GM has to go, but I did do a ride with him.
And I'm aware of that, and I spoke to him about it, to see your work.
Very good. Sir, you get the info from me all the time, so I won't say anything now. But I would like to... I would like to thank Doris, gentleman, during the meeting ago. Sir, I would like to thank you for your time and appreciate the support you give to this committee and staff to help us help you make sure we have disability issues covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick. And also, thank you for coming to the board and your reports. I think it's very important that you keep them plugged in to the activities of the committee. I know they appreciate it, and I appreciate it to hear it from you directly. So thank you, sir.
Good, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Doris. I'm sorry, but we did have to go at 6, so couldn't entertain any more questions for the chairman.
Can I get it for the record?
Go ahead, yes.
The question that I wanted to ask the general manager was how he would handle or how he anticipates handling educating the new heads of jurisdictions at the common board after elections. And it's particularly hurtful for us in Virginia because in the middle of election year, and as of November, there will be a governor-elect, not really expire, or whether it's one or two positive, or three, or whoever, but nonetheless, we're all coming from different backgrounds, and some of them not from up here. And we have seen in the past with one of our immediately previous governors, not the current one, that there were issues related to WMATA that became a concern with the position involving itself in the governor's WMATA board and such. But Jeff, I'm wondering what education the general manager and senior staff will do with the new newly elected governor, and how we can help with that, because he's not equipped, he or she is not equipped to deal with the General Assembly on this. He will not be funded.
So, good question. Two things we can deal with, two ways. I happen to know that this week I will be at the RAC on Wednesday, so that's a question that I can ask him at the time. Also, Mr. Wiefeld will be coming back to this committee, comes to this committee on a quarterly basis, so that could be a question that we could ask him next time he comes. So that would be, because we have sufficient time before the election, which is what, November of 2018?
Yeah.
So something either I can ask on Wednesday, or we can ask him next time he comes.
But I think we also have
to be very conventional.
So, okay, next on the agenda, I have a review of the minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes as written?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, Doris.
Okay, actually, I'm going to just ask if it's only proofreading edits in a couple of places. I think it's only two, and the other is an insert but I think to what that was documented that I said it had to do with the bus, when I was talking about the bus stop near my house, and I indicated that it was newly built, that the path of travel was not acceptable, making the bus stop inaccessible. But I did indicate that it was a newly built walkway built without curb ramp. So that I would like that.
Okay, very good, thank you. And, okay, very good, thank you, Doris. Any other additions or corrections or minutes? Do I have a motion to accept the minutes as amended?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
Make a cap, check it.
Second.
Good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed and those abstaining? Thank you. Next, we have a review of the board report. Phil, I saw your comments. I think they were online a few days ago. Were those comments incorporated into the board report? Phil?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I emailed it to everybody.
Right.
And the current draft of the board report is the same one that came out.
All right. So
before, so we need to add
your comments. Okay.
It's acceptable, everybody.
All right. Anybody have any questions or comments regarding Phil's suggestions?
If my colleagues to my left could just pick up a simple insert.
I think the insert from Doris saying that on the last page of the chairman's report, paragraph 3, this should indicate that AAC, maybe I should give them to
that. Oh, yeah, so confusion. The point is on the first discussion, we were opposed to, in principle, to the Pentagon City tunnel being opened as it was not accessible. So members did enunciate that.
Okay.
And then begins the paragraph at the top of the page by saying, nonetheless, for
nonetheless, this should indicate that AAC members objected to opening the tunnel as not accessible.
That's right.
And could violate the terms of the lawsuit brought by somebody or other.
Richard Pettinger.
By Richard Pettinger.
Under the ABA. Americans. Under the
ABA.
ABA.
That's what I said, ABA.
As
the Architectural Maritime.
50 plus.
As section 504.
Very good. Okay, so that is an amendment. And thank you. Thank you, Phil. Do we have also, Phil had 3 or 4 amendments to the, or additions to the board report. They accepted by the committee.
Yes.
So moved, Charlie?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, thank you. So Phil, your comments are now incorporated into the board report. Are there any other additions or corrections to the board report?
Move adoption of the report.
Move adoption of the board report as amended.
Second.
Right. Okay. Good. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed and those abstaining. Thank you. Okay, now we are at the AAC Travel Initiative. And I did not have a speaker for this, so I don't know, Mr. Blake, if you were going to present or not.
Mr. Chair, this item, to our understanding, was initiated by the committee. So it was my understanding we would hear from Ms. Rush and Ms. Bellamy. Ms. Bellamy just gave me the word. You're talking about.
Right.
You just found the star, so.
Ms. Rush, I believe you spoke first tonight. You know, you and Carol have been mentioned while the general manager was here the interest in having more, and Elber as well, more involvement of officials, board members, GM riding. And so I was my understanding that you all wanted to discuss this as a committee, so this is your time.
Okay, I'm sorry, and I apologize. I didn't understand that this was that discussion with entities.
We wanted to discuss what?
We're not discussing. We really didn't say.
Well, there is that.
So, I think this initiated with Elmer.
Well, I think that the initiative is just, as I said before, to not only extend the invite to the board members to write the mayor, Matt, and other with us, but how that can be done. It could be as a one or two date that we can just make a plan and extend these dates to them on their availability, and or by groups, like from all members, they can group of 3, 4, 5 in different dates. It's just, you know, we have to make the action plan so we can go forward. But I think that it is the moment just so we, how we can address that opportunity for us to engage them into the travel initiative, as it is called.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to just offer just a perspective on this. You know, because Rush was asking, you know, what is the discussion point? Well, I've heard a few from the committee so far. One is, well, you know, if Metro staff arranges the ride and it's the perfect, you know, idyllic ride, and the official doesn't get to see the inevitable lateness or other unanticipated or undesirable consequences that can happen on a typical ride, that they won't understand what the issues are. Now, the thing is, I'll just say this much, you know, you are inviting them, and you want, you have a number of objectives. You want them to pay attention to the service, you want them to know the customers better, you want them to see the difference between the way that people without disabilities access the system versus people who do, the limitations of Metro access. I mean, there are a lot of things. And all of that, you know, I think those are all very laudable goals. But the issue is, if you're asking staff to assist you in inviting the board members, you have to keep in mind that, you know, the board members are interested in the subject. But if we work with their staffs and we say, well, you know, we understand that you're going to ride with some of the customers, they will want to know in advance because of their own schedules and their own other commitments, you know, how long they're going to be. So we're not arranging these rides just because we want to create a perfect situation. We're also doing it because we're trying to respect their schedules as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so Carolyn, you're up next.
Well, we really want to do that. If we want them to come, you know, in touch with them and let them ride with us, where the drivers don't know who they are, you don't know who they are, nobody but us. It's not so much we want to show lateness or anything like that. We want to show them exactly what happens when they to them, so they can participate and understand it's not an easy ride. We don't expect it to be perfect. We just expect them to understand what Metro Access is all about. Understand the cost and all. What a person feels like in the day, because if you don't have a disability, you don't understand. Although you work to help us, we need to let them see what the ride really is, not have you make an appointment for these people. You understand me? And it's not for anything other than to show them it's a very important ride. That's what we want them to do.
Well, and that's up to them.
I
will do whatever you ask and whatever they ask. So, I mean, it's an issue if they, I think what you'll get with that request is there will be some of the board members who may extend themselves and say, I'm going to take the extra time to do this. And, you know, you don't necessarily need all 16 of them to observe. You know, you get just, you know, some of them to share their findings with the rest of the board would probably have a pretty good impact. So I think what I'm saying is you all do not need to go through us to decide this. If you can just simply tell us, we want to invite the board, and we want to invite them the way you want to invite them, and whether you do it through a letter, you could do a letter to the board, and whatever you want in it, we'll pass on. And, you know, but my point is just that it's the last time this was mentioned in front of, I think it was that committee, the executive committee, that some of them suggested that for time constraints and things of that nature, that it be coordinated. So my feeling is if you send a letter, and then if you also, in your next, you know, when you speak to the board next time and you give your oral report, say, you know what, we put a letter out to you, we invited you, we kind of like you to do this more ad hoc, what do you say? You know, the board members may come back and you know, at least they would deliberate over it and decide what they want to do, and they'll either turn and direct staff to coordinate something, or individual board members may volunteer to go out with you on their own. But, you know, I mean, I think you all can invite them however you wish.
All right.
All I'm asking is that we invite collectively. And then take on a list of names that want to ride. They're not even riding the tracks. Let them come with us. Don't have me book the trip. Let us book them on the trip. But it will show is what we have to go through. Nothing wrong with that. And what the experience of riding the tracks really will be. They'll be able to look at the customers, drivers, everything. But if you book the trip.
Okay.
I don't, Mr. Chair, I don't see anything wrong with that. The customers are already booking their trips.
Right.
I would add, Ms. Case asked that I interject also that bus rail is also part of this.
Right. So he has to be just dealing with
all the way around.
All the way around.
All the way around. So.
There's a liberty. All the disabilities.
Let me go to, I have Doris, Tat, and Phil who want to speak on this, so I'm going to recognize them in order. And then what I would like is someone who would like to organize this to step up, do it, and we'll run with it. But okay. I don't want to discuss it, you know, ad infinitum on the committee level. Go ahead, Doris.
I just have some thoughts and suggestions. One is perhaps the chairman will remember this, but the committee has actually already done a disability awareness and sensitivity event, a various awareness day, some years back, maybe around 2010. I'm not sure exactly when, but I do recall it. Their board members were accompanied by people with disabilities. And also, Independent Center of Northern Virginia has done any number of various work days, and the experience that the FABSB has done, I will leave to my colleague. But in my experience in doing this kind of thing, it can work better and for all parties if the board member, at least for the fixed group, okay? Because I think the other event was fixed group. If the board member goes on their own daily agenda but has to use Metro, with a person with disability accompanying them, for Metro access, it might be a different scenario, and the events might be held on two different occasions, so that there isn't a mix of the ideas. And then potentially, and I think this was done the last time when it was done on the fixed route, coming here to Ramada for a press conference at the end of the day to be able to announce what they found. And this is what we did at ECM, we did in more than a period, so I'm going to my colleague.
Thank you, Doris. Tap, let me go to you.
Yeah, I just want to follow up what Doris said, that we, as the FADSB, Fairfax Area Disability Services Board, and me as the chairman, we have a very close relationship with the delegation from the Fairfax County that's sitting in the board, at the board of Fairfax. And we work with them very closely. We talk to them about the market budget, we talk to them about metro access facilities, metro access system, both train and buses. And I make presentations with them any time that I talk about once a month, at least. And we also invite those delegations to come to our meeting to listen to our members of the services board. And I'm sure Montgomery County has a services board similar to that, but we don't do that. I do that. So I think to make an appointment for them, I feel that it's the delegation that are from the Northern Virginia, from Fairfax County, we should be responsible to make the arrangement to meet with them, to go with them. I don't think that the market staff should be responsible for that. I agree with Mr. Kent that they don't have the time to do that. We should do it because they are delegation from our state, from our county. And we are willing to do that. We have three members and we do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Tap. And let me go to Phil.
I think there are two possibilities. You've heard me say this before, when I was trained physical therapist, and I'm talking into the mic.
Mr. Phil, if you please get closer to the mic.
If you are getting closer, I'll be swallowing.
Thank you. You are not going to do that, but if you came closer, we can hear you better. That is
there is no distance.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
No.
I'm sorry, Doris.
That should be there. Oh, I got a bum mic. That's supposed to be a bum mic. Training PTs and OTs, they had them walk around with my shoes. And so they had to walk on crutches for a day. They had eyeglasses that can mimic any vision from tunnel vision to no vision. They have wheelchairs available. And the ideal situation would be to have them volunteer to do it that way, possibly with a travel van. Now, that's probably never going to happen. But for metro access, what they could do is get them a number and a card and have them book their own ride for the day. And if they've got three places they have to go, including work, let them know what it's like to try to get to work on time with metro access. So staff should not book it. They should book it. And they should book the day ahead at least. And as many rides as they need, even to get to one place and get home, so they know what the system is like. They don't need to ride with one of us. They know what the reliability is and what they're waiting for. As far as the other, since I'm sure we won't get them to ride wheelchairs and use crutches or wear funny glasses, but have them travel with somebody that is in a wheelchair and does have glasses and get an idea of what it's like at Montfort Plaza to go through the cattle chute to make the connection from the elevator to the elevator. But again, I don't think staff has to do all that stuff. They can do it on their own, and they can make an arrangement with us. We have a contact person to ride with them on that particular day. A number of them have already, I know Kathy Hutchins has already been on crutches, you know, where they slip around on the buses. Mary Hines, who's no longer on, has done all of that. So a number of them have had injuries over the time that they've traveled. But I don't think staff has to book it. But I think for metro access, they really need the experience of planning ahead, booking all the rides they need for one day to work, and see what happens.
Thank you, Phil.
Mr. Chairman,
Can I say that?
Doris.
Included simulations.
Thank you. Doris, I'm recognizing Denise. I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Denise.
When I first started riding metro access, the Washington Post did a day that they picked 10 writers and they in advance came to your house and spent the day with you at Metro Access. 10 separate reporters and without any event, you know, any notice, and it was very interesting. You know, they experience a lot. Phil's suggestion is pretty good too, with their having their own number and they have to use the Metro Access service for a day is a good suggestion. Or the members could pick a name and exchange numbers and set aside a time, but definitely it would be not planned because, like the day that I went with my writer, it went well. Next day, of course, the next 2 days of my trips were late, so he didn't experience that. Not that it just happens, just let it happen, whatever it is. We had a great trip, and I had many great trips, so there are great trips. But we wanted them to experience the shoulder harness choking them on the neck, and the tall man hitting his head against whatever is up there on the side of the bus, and they waited 20 minutes for the people for the next ride. We want them to experience and, you know, what's really happening. It's only to improve the system. We want the system, we need the system, but we've got to get some improvements.
So let me go to, thank you, Denise. Let me go to Elmer, then Doris, I'm coming back to you, and then I'm going to Mr. Kent. What I'm looking for here is someone who I can have as a point person to help organize all of this. Let's get dates, let's get people signed up, and let's get some activity. Elmer, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just want to say that on agreement, I am willing to do that. Willing to volunteer and take the lead about this travel initiative. But yes, if I have the approval of each one of you or you, Mr. Chair, I would be more than happy to do that. Secondly, when we say about having the staff assistance, yes, we need the staff assistance to receive the communication. Yes, I can do or we can do everything by our own, that is correct. But we need the staff assistance to help us to speed this process and do the right letter or message or communication. So I think that we have to work together on this. And number three, I'm not sure if I misunderstood when you mentioned Mr. Phil and or Ms. Bellamy about, or Mr. Rush, about they, you mean the board members write Metro Access by their own? Well, I think that they should write the Metro Access with their writer, with the person that they can see how the person on the wheelchair struggled to get into the vehicle and or to get all the safety and to get into the destination, etc., etc. I think that if the Metro, the board member should to write with the person who is going to write from point A to point B. I see a little bit without sense to see a board member just writing the Metro Metro Access. I think that they should to participate from the beginning, is even if they are available to make the phone call and do the reservation with us and take the trip. I think that that is pretty much what I visualize with the travel initiative. Thank you.
Thank you, Albert, and I will accept volunteer proposal to head this initiative, which I appreciate. Anyone else who wishes to work with Elmer on this, I think we've got some good ideas here, and I think going forward that would be good. Doris, you're the last committee member, and then I'm going to recognize Mr. Kent.
I would agree with Elmer, and would certainly make there should be, if it wants, a work group on this. What I was trying to say, I'm sorry, I apologize. I just wanted to say that 2 seconds because, if I would forget it, I'm sorry. But what I was trying to say is that in my experience and other experiences that I've seen this to be effective, that for both fixtures and for, at least for fixtures, I'll put it that way, we would want the board member or the decision maker to participate in simulating a disability and have somebody with them who actually has a disability so that they don't get it wrong, so that they don't just think, oh, this is too hard, they can't ride, you know, but rather to make sure that they know and are educated to the barriers that are there, and certainly in the case of to point out how some of the enhancements of the accessibility system would make it better and how we need to put those as priority for funding, and then with Metro Access, I would defer to Metro Access users, but I would expect that to see problems with reliability of services and manifest and all that stuff to be educated by the person who is actually writing about what's going on would help them to understand why we make certain policy requests. And so I think that that's important because I think the article that Ms. Rush, you know, the day Ms. Rush participated in the article that came from that really educated that journalist. So,
yes. Thank you, Doris.
So I would like to suggest also that we, depending on who's interested, maybe a smaller work group.
Yes. So we're going to have Elmer head that work group to coordinate it. I don't know if we want to look at something the week of ADA, which is Wednesday the 26th.
I would suggest not that because that's during the National Council on it.
Okay.
Nico's conference.
See, that's why I put Elmer in charge instead of me. Because he helped us at the same time. So maybe that's a good idea.
But I'd like to participate in maybe, you know, we could do the one for Metro Access and then maybe something like 6 months later and then the one for fixtures. But I suggest in any event, for the fixtures, you might want to do it during
I am pretty sure that each one of you would be receiving an email with the subject Robert initiative with thoughts, ideas, and how we are going to start to do this very soon. So
thank you, Eva. Yes, and I appreciate you stepping up. I mean, this was your suggestion a few months ago. So I think that it's yours to work with and get a group together, and I think we'll have good participation. Mr. Kent.
Thank you. I want to just offer just a perspective. The last time that we did a disabilities awareness event was about 10 years ago, 2007. It was not long after General Manager John Cato came here. The board members, almost, I would say, out of the 12 that we had at the time, I want to say that we had like 7 or 8 of them that participated in the event. At that time, you know, we had just switched to a new contract. We had just automated Metro Access's scheduling services. We had just been through a very unfavorable time period with the service where we were not meeting some of our goals, and there was a lot of press activity. And in fact, the media ride-alongs that Ms. Rush is speaking of, there actually were 12 reporters from the Washington Post who had taken rides that day, because I remember that day rather well. And, you know, that type of attention did bring about a lot of improvements to the service. I want you to know, as a Metro staff person, that we welcome the feedback, and we don't mind shining the light on something that isn't working if it can be fixed. But the one thing that I would offer, though, is that as you go down the path of inviting the board members into this conversation, yes, they are our bosses, and yes, they can order changes if they want to. But if you simply show them what it is like to navigate the system and the environment around it as a person with a disability, but you don't give them something specific to do about it, they will be sympathetic. They will ask for reports. They will review the statistics. They will ask Mr. Wiedefeld if we're doing a good enough job. You know, is the committee asking for something that's realistic, or are they just simply saying, you know, it's difficult to have a disability and do your best, Metro? And, I, you know, that may feel like lip service to you if you go to all that trouble and that's all you get. And so my comment is that it would, in my opinion, that if you have some specific things that you want them to see on all the modes, and you say, sort of like what we had with Ms. Millville, when she said, you know, I would be glad to show you which stations have lighting issues. And specific feedback was brought, and it's actually been incorporated into our plan. If you lead the board members onto Metro Access or the other modes, and you say, I want you to look at this issue. This is what I go through when I have this reservation. Is there something that we could do about this? You know, and because what's going to end up happening is that any deficiency that is identified during these ride-alongs is going to be brought back to me and my staff. And they're going to ask me, you know, if any of this is legitimate. They're going to say, okay, well, you know, is the van supposed to, is the wheelchair lift in the back of the van supposed to rattle like that? Well, it rattles more when it gets close to 4 and 5 years old than it does when it's new. And we do have a replacement schedule. I mean, you can explain away and talk some through some of those things, and the board member is going to say, well, then what is the action that we are being asked to take? So you all know the services better than anybody. And I say that if you have specific asks for them, let us show you the system. And by the way, as far as them reserving their own trip, they're probably not going to want to do that. Mr. Augustine will do it, though. He doesn't mind dialing. Just ask Mr. Roth. But some of the board members actually do call us directly. But they can ride your PCA. You can reserve the trip, and they can go with you. So, you know, you could, if Elbert can work with us and the board secretary, the staff does not have to be involved. They can accompany you whenever you all mutually arrange it. But what I'm suggesting to you is that if you want to be able to say that all of this makes some kind of a difference, it would be great. If you can point them in a direction and say, we know the budget is tight, but we do think that it would be better in the end if you did devote a little bit more money to this thing or that thing. Give them something that they can do so that then you can come back and thank them afterward. Because otherwise, if you show them problems without solutions, it's frustrating. It'll be just as frustrating to them as it is to you when you see problems that you wish would get fixed and are not fixed. So, you know, I would like actually to help you with that if I can. But I don't need to be involved in the communication with the board members, but I'd love to be in a position for us mutually to be able to tell them, these are the accessibility challenges that if we put a little more effort into them, we could change Metro for the better.
So your travel initiative has specific outcomes that we want to educate the board to, so that not only do we show them what the issues are, but perhaps some solutions to those issues.
Yes, sir.
The right answers. Okay, thank you, Mr. Cannon.
Thank you.
That is a very instructive way to do that, so that it's just not see the challenges we face, but here are some answers. And of course, what Barbara did and her group did with respect to the lighting is a good demonstration of that. Okay. Excellent. Elder, you have your marching orders and a group that will get together online and talk about this. So we want to talk about issues and outcomes, what we want to achieve from all of this. I think that's a worthwhile goal. Very good. Thank you.
You also have our staff support commitment, of course.
Thank you.
Dr. B is looking at Elder warmly.
And I think that's a very good idea because use this to promote some of the things that we're trying to get. I mean, Denise, as far as, and I thought of this while you were talking to Mr. Kent, You want to talk about how difficult it is to get in that door for those new motor access vehicles? That'd be a great vehicle to try to get, to get it in on.
Yes, I know, and I you know, that's why, you know, when Ms. Rush mentioned this at the GM here, and by the way, Ms. Rush, I mean, you know, I want you to know that I knew that there would be a day that I would be asked that question in this meeting. So I was prepared. And I can tell you that I know that there are going to be some comments and some feelings about that van. We would have, if we could have built the van to our own specifications, there are some things that we would have changed. The hard part sometimes for us is letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, if we had rejected the design of the van, for example, and tried to run the old vans another year, we would have started to see less service reliability. We can't do that. So one thing I want to assure the committee is that if there are aspects of the new vans that are not popular, fortunately, you know, there are still, you know, a good 500 plus of the other ones that are still in service, and we will have some ability to work around these things. But yes, I think it's fair game. I would love it if there was some way that we could publicly get the vehicle manufacturer's attention. This became a widely known story, looking around for my friends in the media, you know, to point out what a transit agency has to go through to find someone to build a paratransit vehicle. That'd be a neat story, because it's not like just going to buy a car. They have to be custom made, and that's we would love more choices. And the only way that message gets out there is if it's heard by the right people.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr.
Good. Chair. And I'm going to jump next to Brannock and Brown Avenue platforms. And that's what I thought this was all about, but I guess I was wrong in the initial discussion. Mr. Blake, this, I know it was a PowerPoint sent out. Is this your agenda item? I didn't have anyone for this agenda
item. Yeah.
This is not Denise and Carolyn, right?
No, this is not Denise and Carolyn. That was the last issue.
All right. Thank you,
sir. Good job, by the way. So this is me. This is, I'm just providing the committee an update and also asking for any feedback if you have any. But as some of you recall, last month, there was a customer who came to the meeting. Actually, I think he came to the BRS meeting. But he talked about the challenges he was having on the Rhode Island platform. And at the time, I was explaining that both Rhode Island and Braddock Road platforms are challenging, or at least aspects of them are challenging, due to the original construction. And it goes into the placement of the canopies, which created movement in terms of the platform from its initial design, which then created small inches of non-compliance between the platform and the allowable vertical gaps of the train, between the platform and the trains. So, and I explained that at that meeting, but I wanted you all to know that Metro is now taking more further and aggressive action, both for the short term and the long term. And for members of the public, there's copies of the PowerPoint on the table for your taking when you're leaving out, if you didn't grab one when you came in. But so to start with, the background was simple. There were initial construction problems that should have been addressed many years ago. They were not addressed at the time of the construction. So what that is done at both the Braddock Road stations, at the, both the Braddock Road and Rhode Island station, they have created areas, not the entire platform, but areas on the platform where the gaps are out of compliance. But there are other areas of the platform where the gaps are within compliance. But what's happening is, for people with disabilities, especially those using mobility devices, but even people without disabilities, we found that there have been some trip hazards and, of course, difficulty transitioning on or off the rail vehicles. Again, these were original construction problems. They exist today if you go to the Ivan Park station. So what is the Metro going to do about it? For the short term, because we can't just shut the stations down. That's not going to work. As we discussed last week, last month, I told you Metro is aware of it, and we're trying to make our customers more aware of the situation. So currently, we're using Brannock Road as the model, but we're going to try to do all of the work simultaneously between both stations. If you go out to the Brannock Road station, right now, you will find along both platforms and on both sides of the tracks, along the platform, you will currently find Watch Your Step signs painted along the bumpy tiles at that station. So those are already on there, and we're asking customers to be aware and watch your step. There are also now station announcements. If you're at the Brannock Road station, you'll hear an ongoing announcement saying there's unevenness on the platform, and please watch your step as you board the train, and be mindful of the potential trip hazard as you're coming back home, or you know, the reverse. And we've now added announcements by the train operators. So as you're approaching the train station, the train operators are reminding customers who are getting off at Brannock Road to please be careful and watch your step, be mindful of the gaps at the station. What we're going to do in addition to that now, so we've already painted Watch Your Step on there, but we've gone out and done measurements throughout the entire length of the platforms. And what we've done on both sides of the tracks at both sides of the platform at Brannock Road Station, we've identified the optimal boarding areas of that station for both sides. And what we're going to be doing, and that's on the slide four, there's a picture there that's showing, that's not actually out there yet, that's a rendering of a sign. We're going to paint all along the parts of the platform where the platform to edge gaps are in fact compliant with the ADA and offer optimal boarding for all customers, those with disabilities and those without. Now, of course, people still can board anywhere along the platform they want, but we're letting folks know on both sides of the platform which area of the platform is best to board the train. And that information will be added to our website. We're looking at ways to add it to the elevator alerts, even though it's not an elevator issue. We want to find other ways to push this message out on a regular and consistent basis to remind customers traveling to the station which cars you should be in if you want to leave off the train at an optimal level boarding area, and those traveling to Brannock Road and leaving from that station, what they should look for in terms of signage along the platform in order to board the train at the optimal level boarding areas of the platform. And then finally, the long-term solution is complete deconstruction of the platforms and reconstruction of those platforms. That's going to take a long time. It's going to be a lot of work. We haven't determined yet what the impact will be. Does that mean we're going to shut those stations down completely? That's a possibility. Is it possible we could do work on one side of the station and single track on the other? It's possible, but that's probably not the direction we're going to go. But again, that decision hasn't been made yet. We're currently doing design work, as I mentioned in last month's meeting. The design work is already well underway. So this is not something we've waited on. It's just taking some time. But construction and the real work in terms of taking the platforms down and putting them back up could begin as soon as fiscal year 19, which would be July of 2018, or a little later. So we have a short-term strategy, but short-term could be about a year, 2 years, three maximum. And then we'll begin construction on the platform so that the entire length of both the Rhode Island Spatial platform as well as the Brad Road platforms will all be completely compliant with the ADA. So that's the update. We're open to suggestions of other announcements and information. You can write me and send it to the whole committee so it's transparent. But we wanted you to know we're moving forward with at least this aspect of our short-term solution. The long-term work is also underway. And we just want to make this a situation where it's safe for all of our customers. And we want everybody to be informed as to how best to travel when going to or leaving from Braddock Road and Rhode Island Metro stations.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir.
Questions from Blake? Ed, you had a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead, and Doris.
And Brianna.
And Brianna.
Most of the short-term solutions you mentioned seem to be more for able-bodied people. The watch your step sign and whatever. The optimal, what was that called again? The optimal point of...
Optimal level boarding area.
Doesn't that depend more on with the car? You know, the amount of people in the car.
Well, that happens, but again, what you do is you measure the vertical gap. And sure, if a car is super overloaded, that can affect your vertical gap, certainly. But when you're looking at the target, just show here. But first, let me go back to your first point. We are doing the announcements, and we want the e-alerts because we do know that a person with visual disability may not see the sign on the platform. So we want to inform them as to landmarks on the station as to where the optimal boarding location is. So other than visual disabilities, which is why we're doing the announcements, we believe these short-term solutions are really for people in mobility devices primarily, because they're the ones who are most impacted by this vertical gap, especially trying to get off, and the gap is so big if you're in the wrong car that either you have to have a power device to just kind of ram your way off the train, or you have to get somebody to help you off the train. So no, we want to advise people in mobility devices where to get on the train at if you're at the station, and inform you as to what cars you should board if that's your destination.
And you said we have to have somebody. Can I just mention that? If you're in a wheelchair, you can't get in to the car. Outbound is no problem, usually. So getting in, your legs are blocking the door. And the door will eventually close on them. But there's usually no metro personnel to help you out in that situation.
Right.
It's usually the people in the cars.
Correct.
Which really shouldn't be helping you. But they're usually the ones that save your life.
I'm with you, but that's why we want to advise you ahead of time. But just so you know, at Braddock Road, getting on the train is actually pretty simple. But you're taking kind of a, I hate to say it, feel like you're in a roller coaster, you're rolling down into the car. But getting off is very difficult because the gap at certain parts, not the entire platform, so I gotta be clear about that. But if you're in the wrong car, certain vertical gaps are pretty high, and you need to kind of pop the wheel to get above the threshold.
Yes, I do use Bradford Station.
Yes, sir.
So, number one, I have not heard train announcements. And maybe just started it. And I ride so much over there, so maybe they're doing it during the day or the rush hour. The other thing is that I would say that concerned about where the signs or the paintings on the platform would be, because I would definitely hope that it is not put over top of Granite Edge or the detectable warnings, because that would mess up the contrast for persons with vision impairments. And then the other thing I do want to mention is that I have had also some problems with GAP. And for a person with a vision impairment who is traveling and they're trying to get off the train, particularly going off the train, but even going on, I have experienced tripping or nearly tripping, getting off, and in some cases getting on. And so I think the warning for us is also important. The announcements on train, both arriving at the station as well as getting on.
Let me just respond real quick. The current watch a step that is placed approximately every 20 feet or so, those were painted on the bumpy tiles. I'll just have to tell you that. The signs that we're proposing about the optimal level boarding areas, those will not be placed on the bumpy tiles or the granite edge. They will be placed immediately behind the bumpy tiles on the platform.
What color are they?
They're bright yellow with black lettering.
Yeah, that's particularly because they're over the bumpy tiles, it may distort the image. But certainly, if that's going to have somebody there thinking that this is, where the detection warnings are, because that is the standard under the ADA, you know what I'm saying? So, and it's,
the standard under the ADA is the yellow rubberized.
Doran, let me jump to Brianna if I can. I have Brianna, Tap, and Heidi, and then we finish up the same. Brianna.
Thank you, Paul. So I'm really excited about that. It's great. You're trying. You are the effort, and I always about short-term solutions while we're waiting for long term. I don't wait having nothing until somebody funding off a delivery green or back at least you're taking some additional short-term solutions. My only concern, my question to you is when they did this card line, it was a few months ago, maybe 8 months ago, they put in that yellow on the platform, the yellow writing on the platform that said this is where this is color stops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
There's a detail on the car train.
So that's only, less than a year ago. So already worn out. The materials they use for that have already worn out and a lot of stations are almost gone now. So I'm wondering, are you going to use the same material for this?
I'll admit, I did propose decals for the signage for simplicity purposes, but for the same issue you just raised, my colleague in our plant division, who would be ultimately responsible for putting this in, said, no, that's not a good idea. We've been trying to replace these things every 2 or 3 weeks. It might have been exaggerated. But, so instead of using decals, we're going to actually paint the platform. So it'll be the background. And I'm not saying I'm going to change the yellow that you see in the picture there, but I'm certainly going to look at it. I hear Doris's concerns, and that's a well-placed concern. But whatever signage is there for the optimal boarding areas will be painted on. So it should last a lot longer than the decals. You're right, the decals, a lot of people recognize that's not the best way when you're dealing with thousands of people traveling over.
Thank you. Good.
Tap,
and then I go to
Honey. I just want to say that thank you for this finding that you see here, the picture. But is it possible to have a sign also that where the train with a handicap picture there, something handicap sign, international sign there? This is a train that is easy for the wheelchair to ride.
The only challenge with them, because we looked at onboard.
There's none in the other places I've seen.
Right. Now, the only problem in the challenges, and I'm not saying it's not possible, because we're still looking at even in-car announcements. The car that, for example, let's use Brad Road, for example. On the platform side going out, track 2 going out to the end of the yellow line, you will be using the third through sixth car as the optimal boarding cars. For the track one coming into DC, you would be using the first three cars, because those are in the optimal boarding areas of the platform. If we put the International Symbol of Disability on car three, the terminals are on the wrong side, you won't be boarding on the optimal boarding area.
How about on the platform itself?
Well, that's what this sign is. That's actually on the platform. That's on the platform floor. Okay. So you would, when you're ready to get on the train, whichever direction you're going at Braddock Road, and you want the optimal boarding area, you would push yourself behind that sign until the train stops. And as long as you're in that area and you go to one of the car doors, you do not have any challenges entering the vehicle on the, from that platform.
I see a strength of uneven platform basis. Or watch out your steps.
Well, the watch your step is what they did to say every 25 feet they want to give, or we want to give a warning to all customers. But what we want to do now, what we're showing you tonight, is going above and beyond that. You have a right to board anywhere you want to on a platform, but we're saying watch your step.
Okay.
But what we're doing now is saying, if you want optimal boarding, the area that is absolutely certain to be compliant with the ADA,
yes,
this is the area. That's going to be on the platform.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. Last up, Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi.
I just got excited because the interview, I don't know if you remember, B, the first interview I had to become a member of the AAC, I shared the Rhode Island platform problem. And I have personally broken two trains because you come back so far to run Abbott. I have hit it two different, completely different days, months, hit it so hard. I didn't get in, but therefore when the train wanted to close the doors, they wouldn't close because I hit it so hard the doors couldn't come out. Of course, they can't move when the doors don't close. So it is definitely a problem. And I just wanted to say I've been saying this for a while and it would be wonderful. And knowing where it is safe is Brianza is a wonderful, you know, solution for this short term that I would greatly appreciate.
Thank you, Heidi.
And Mr. Chair, I'd just like to thank Ms. Case for affording us the opportunity to send her a bill for the trains that she broke.
Well, we were wondering.
Trains are very expensive in this case, so
Mr. Chair,
we may have to do installments for the next 100 years to pay back the train cost.
I didn't break the train, but I broke my wheelchair. We have to send a bill to Mr. Kent.
So jumping very quickly to the next agenda item. Thank you, everybody. We have public comment period. Who do we have to speak to the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We have right now three people present, though I think that two more are left right at the moment now. So we are going to start with Nate. M-E-E-T-H.
Well, Malibu.
It's me. I didn't know how to read his name. I'm sorry.
Welcome.
Malibu? Okay, Miss Barbara. What I didn't put you by this other folk.
Hi there. I wanted to let you know about an email that I received from a Metro rider who has low vision. And I think you'll be very interested in hearing about this because he actually, him and I had been talking about 2 years ago, and he was concerned about his safety riding the rails, and he decided to apply for paratransit, and he was accepted. And here is bits of his email that he sent me. And I'm paraphrasing. This is about DuPont Circle. I was very impressed when they replaced bulbs and put in new mezzanine lighting. Van Ness, UDC, you look up to the mezzanine and it is like a brightly lit storefront. Bethesda, those stairs going down to the platform are no longer a thing to avoid with the new lighting. And finally, we have Pentagon City, very nicely done. This is a good example of what a new mezzanine lighting continuing over the small escalators to the platform can do for a station structure like this. So we want to thank you very much. This is evidence that what we're doing in conjunction with AAC and Metro staff has been working. And the action item for this, Mr. Kent, is we would like to encourage you all to go to the Judiciary Square Metro Station and look at the lighting there. That's very similar to what Kelly Rial had presented here as a proposal for what's going to be going on at the platform. And it would be about twice as bright as what's there. And we wanted to also encourage you to not paint. We feel that while we like Union Station painted, we are mostly concerned with the lighting, and that would be the number one thing that you need to focus on right now, as it is working. So again, we look forward to working with you and continuing on with using the very excellent template that you have provided us at Judiciary Square a couple of years ago. It's still our bright and shining star. Even after this time, we rarely see bulbs that are out. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara. Two things. One, I think it's great that we have the funding that we need to continue the lighting project. And number two, I appreciate the fact that you followed up your report with an action item particularly directed to Mr. Kent that talks about Judiciary Square. So I think that's good, and that's something for us to look at and come back with comments and follow up to make sure that that gets replicated throughout the system.
And Mr. Chair, Ash and I duly recorded.
Thank you. You are welcome. Very good.
With a liberal sign, that's safe.
What's that, Phil?
You can step one of the steps closer if you like.
Very good. You know, I liked it better when his mic was off. let's see. Next up, we have Nicole Miller. Nicole, you're up next. Oh, she's right.
Yes, so we are going to continue then with Heidi, please.
Very good, Heidi.
Quickly, I want to say, as many of you have seen me high-fiving Allison Anderson, I am now hearing, and this wasn't happening, about improvements that people are saying Metro Access is getting better again, back to maybe where it was. I'm hearing that from different groups of people, different places. Certainly I know, as Allison said, there's more to go, but people are seeing the efforts you're making in the quality of their service. And I think it's important for you to hear that. And I'll say it again on Metro Access Night also. No, I am not Trump. Get him away from me.
My directors are having an issue this evening because they both in stereo said that apparently Mr. June is trying to make Access great again. And I'm glad I'm sitting down.
The other thing that I did speak about last time, and I want to bring possibly a way we could work together on the Transport DC issue. And we are losing wave service Transport DC has had a huge decline in the ability of them to provide wave or wheelchair accessible vehicle taxi service. And the problem is, or how it impacts all of you, is that Metro Access is that safety net. There was a Special Olympics, the big summer games, happened to be the week of the 90-something temperatures. We sat at almost 3 hours under no shade. It had closed down, no water, waiting for wheelchair taxis, and was literally thinking, okay, we've got to follow this.
That you are our safety. And so I'm concerned. I think they cut me off, but I
don't know. I'm sure they didn't cut you off. You just leave that to fail.
Okay. Yes, it is. So, anyways, that possibly AC would want to reach out, as they were the initiator of the Transport DC service, and because you don't want people, I myself have considered, okay, if it's nighttime, I can't guarantee a taxi vehicle home, I'll schedule Metro Access. And that isn't what you want to see. That possibly we could have an invitation from the AAC to a discussion or a further dialogue, create a meeting possibly to discuss moving forward, possible solutions, ways to improve this problem. I would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Okay.
And you first? Well, I would just say the director, Mr. Ernest, and his point person, Carl Muhammad, have both asked in the past to come to the AAC, so I don't think it's wrong for us to invite them to a Metro Access meeting and find out what are.
Metro Access, anytime.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's all.
The mic is not working. But to ask what's going on here.
Okay. So we don't mind messing up Paul's agenda. So we can do that.
So it doesn't have to be this month. But you know,
the
service has gotten so bad, we've had to file human rights complaints because there is inequity. Services being provided to people who do not need raising, but not to the others. So it would be wonderful.
We do have to.
That's not our plan.
Hang on.
No, I know that.
Hang on, yeah. So let's see if we can schedule those speakers to come to a Metro Access meeting.
I will be happy to put that on when I speak next to our work plan and meeting.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Let's see. I think we have one more person who had to leave, but he had a statement that he wanted to introduce to the room. Hang on.
Just a moment, Mr. Chair. Who is that, Mr. Please?
Nicole Miller.
Okay, Ms. Nicole Miller.
Let's go with Nicole first, and then we'll have a statement, then we'll move on. Thank you, Nicole.
Hello? I just wanted to say thank you for, well, the last couple weeks, we went from last month being, I was basically telling them, that's okay, I'll just wheel my cell phone because the ride had gotten so ridiculous. I told them, I demanded to get off the van and just started trying to find my own way home. But the last couple weeks, these guys have really been on point. I don't know what happened, but I'm very thankful. So I've been getting to work, I've been getting home. That's great. And I'm actually able to do my work and get home and do all of that. I'm sorry that I had to, like, get really, really mean and nasty about it, just to be able to I don't know, you know, go to the bathroom in a toilet instead of in an embarrassing way or something from being on the van for hours. The last couple of weeks have been pretty good. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole, and let's make sure we keep that service up for Nicole.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to, we had one person had to leave, but the statement for the
record. Right, yes, this is Mr. Thomas Magnum, or Lucius. He said that the new bus operator barriers are too far out and sometimes make it difficult to pass some wheelchairs. That is his statement.
Okay.
He's talking about the operator shields that are on the fixed-route buses. There may be some truth to that because the mobility devices are of all different shapes and sizes. One thing I would say, and you know, this is one thing you all, I think, as a group, have been very compassionate about, is having some empathy for the plight of the driver. My understanding from the most recent statistics is that the assaults on bus operators are up this year significantly. And I will tell you, some of you probably already know this, but I started my career in this industry as a bus operator. And I worked in Dallas, Texas for a little while, and I worked in a college town. So I had a little bit of urban, a little bit of suburban, a little bit of rural environments of driving a bus. But in all the years that I drove, I never had something happen, thankfully to me, like a number of our Metro bus operators have had. And it's reached a point where the assaults that are occurring today on Metro bus are inevitably occurring on those buses where the shield has not yet been installed. It is not on all the buses. Now, and Chris has some additional comments, but I'll just say that, driving a bus requires your concentration. It's a serious job. It's a job that has a lot of safety responsibilities. The driver cannot afford to be trying to pay attention to, oh my gosh, somebody might hit me or do something else to me while I'm trying to attend to my responsibilities. And so, we're moving more in the direction of continuing putting the shields on the vehicles. And I'm hoping that Mr. Blake may have some thoughts on how to make sure that they don't take up more room than they need to. But I'll just... See, when they're closed, they're not in the way. Okay,
So you're right about the reason why the shields are there, but if I'm familiar with the complaint that's been raised, and this is where we need the customers to, instead of the report to the AC, they got to call us with bus numbers and direction, because all bus operators are supposed to have the shields closed. What happens, not all bus drivers want to use the shield. And for some mobility device, some of the more larger ones, because we did do measurements to make sure that they're accessible, if you leave the device open, your ability to use certain mobility devices becomes prohibited because it's taking up just that much space that a vehicle cannot get past it. So there have been places where these vehicles for their protection, but some drivers don't want to use them.
Customer is boarding, and they're trying to get by the driver, and they're having difficulty. Why can't they just close the shield and make the person go by?
That's why I want them to call us so we can deal with the particular bus.
Yeah, we're good.
But the point is that the shield shouldn't even be a case where they close the shield to let the customer off. They're supposed to be closed on the back.
Thank you, sir. Good. Okay. That's thank good you. Education, and that was something I was not aware of. Doris, I'm going to jump to you as the last, and I need to go to two reports because we have to end up on time.
Okay, one of the last matter, there are problems with communication for blind and deaf and hard of hearing people, okay, with the shields, which I would like to have a chance to talk with you about, because I have found that problematic. Second, I would like to urge staff as they go about making the changes at that we just discussed at Braddock Road Station, that you go and make a presentation on this to the Alexandria Commission on Persons with Disabilities, because they are intimately involved in that. They're citizens with disabilities of the city of Alexandria, and you're, that station all the time. And I really think they need to know about this, particularly if their station is going to be shut down as well. And the last thing is an issue and regarding metro access that I wanted to ask you to clarify some information that I've heard at some of the other meetings and that the community of consumers have asked me about. And that is it true that with the new reductions in services that are about to go into effect, that if the bus route has been eliminated or the route schedule is significantly shortened or curtailed or changed, that people who are using metro access, who live in that area, will, if it affects their having service, if the bus is eliminated, will have a will be grandfathered into metro access service. I am very, very concerned if that is the case, because it makes a class of two or three classes of people with disabilities.
Okay, quickly, let's answer the question.
Should the answer to the rumor is not true.
Okay, I appreciate that then. Thank you.
Thank you, Doris. Speaking of metro access, let's go. Thank you, Mr. Hand. I know that's something we've covered before. Speaking of metro access, Mr. Paul.
Yes.
Sir.
Okay, my report. So last month we had a very provoking and heavy discussion about the Metro Access Service Delivery Pre-Proposal Conference with Mr. Kent with questions and answers, and we also had the presentation of the new Metro Access vehicle. Now, Mr. Jim, my question comes, just to add to the record, with the 207 new vehicles, when will, I know Mr. Stokes began to talk about it, but what is the timeline these 207 vehicles will be put into service, and what percentage are going to each of the three providers, and will they be fully staffed at that point to help with the continual improvement on time performance that people are enjoying right now?
Absolutely. So we are currently in the phases of putting those new vans. We get about, just for a little bit of education, we get five and five, so we get five on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so about 10 each week that we actually have delivered to us. There's a process that takes a little under about 10 days to actually go through the entire registration process and everything. Because we have, these new vans are different than what we've had in the past. We have a complete training program that we're going through for every single operator. Similar to what we did with the MV1, so this will be much more comprehensive, because all operators will need to have this particular training just on the differences and the nuances associated with these vans. So we're undertaking that now. We expect to begin placing these the new vans in revenue service within the next month after we get a solid requisite number of operators trained on these new vans. They will be distributed according to, I can't really get into details about percentages for each provider, but we are increasing the total fleet size. We will be retiring some of the older vans that we've held on to kind of to your point of making sure that we have enough capacity for all the rides, but we will be increasing the fleet size with this entire process of instituting the new vans and retiring the old vans. Will take over the next, I'll say, 2 to 3 months for this process. We hope to be completing this into the fall, where we'll have all of those vans actually into revenue service, and the oldest fans that we have retired from revenue service. with a fleet size right now of increasing of up to 700, we may go higher than that if need be, depending on capacity. All right, thank you. Next thing is I also see on our agenda the customer service guy, and also I think Ms. Anderson, you're taking the lead on that. Now, with that, as we did in the past, it's been some time, I probably would advise committee members to look at that customer guide. If there are any things that needs to be in terms of additions or suggestions, that y'all have that kind of ready before the meeting, because what I did in the past is kind of went through page by page some of the known stuff, and then, you know, of course, this is a team effort, welcome that, and the same thing along with our work plan, because this is time of year to discuss that. Again, it's a collaborative effort, and I'm just saying that to all the wonderful committee members, old and new, to come with your opinions and your thoughts. I have some ideas or suggestions in terms of some of the things that we should repeat and keep or tweak, but again, this is a team effort. We want to have a robust plan for next year forward.
Thanks, Paul.
That's it.
Thank you, sir. And I have just one question. Do we have any update on the ability trial? And award?
Not at this point. Mr. Chairman is still in the procurement process.
I thought it was supposed to start July 1.
I thought so too, sir. So we'll just be patient. We'll continue to work the process until an award is made.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, me?
Yes. Were you going to go to bus rail or?
I am going to bus rail right now.
Before you metro access, we did have one more thing. The committee did pass the motion to move up the AAC recommendation to the board that they develop a metro access pass similar to the list there for bus rail.
Okay.
Very good.
We did mention it to the board, the GM today, but I think officially we passed it to the AAC to pass.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
So, hang on.
Mr. Chair, the item that Phil just mentioned.
Yes.
So, Phil, how did you sneak that one past me?
you were there when we had that.
I have my microphone, my other
so,
on.
So let me just, I'm kidding, but I do want to put something out there. You know, if you're going to make that recommendation, it may be worthy of your Fair Policy Working Group, because I think the format of it, the manner in which it's distributed, you know, because a Metro Access customer, if you give them a pass, I mean, so we have to look into things like, would it interface with Easy Pay? How would the customer get it? Is it something, if they wanted to get on a vehicle, you know, are you suggesting, I mean, how would they pay for it? You know, we have to work that out. So, you know, it might be helpful before we go too far with it to just have a technical discussion about a little more about what you had in mind, if that's okay.
Yeah, initially it was again to get the financial people working on the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a selection pass like the one that developed for bus and rail, where you decide what your average cost is for the week, then you can buy a pass for somewhat less than the cost of what your rides for the week are. Or if they want to do something that you can buy a pass that your every second ride, or every third ride, or every fourth ride, pick a number, is going to be 90% or 80% of what the other three rides are. And so I thought it important for them to crunch the numbers before we got into the mechanics of how they're going to do the purchase.
So how do we want to proceed with this item?
Well, staff is requesting a meeting with Dr. Posner and whoever else he would like to include, his working group or whoever else. If you want to do a smaller meeting, just you, I would like us to talk a little bit more about the rationale behind it, because we are going to need to involve others, and I want to have a clear understanding of the idea.
So, hang on, there's a motion on the floor, though, and the motion does not preclude anything that you're saying, Mr.
That's
Ken.
Correct.
Very good. So, Phil, can we proceed with this motion to get support?
It must be repeated, because the mic wasn't on.
Go ahead, Phil. We need to move quickly. I have
yes, that the AAC begin working with staff to develop a protocol for a Metro Access pass that would be equivalent to the ones that currently exist for bus rail.
Good. Do I have a second? Second. Is there any discussion? Is it? Doris, go ahead.
Putting in the words proposal because it isn't a protocol going ahead.
Is that acceptable, Carolyn? Good. Do I have any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed and those abstaining. Very good. Thank you. So, Phil, you will get your little committee together and we will work out.
Well, you're the new chair of the
committee. I am? Oh, thank you, Kelvin.
And I'm happy to assist the chair.
Thank you. Yes, a couple of chairs. Thank you, Paul. Let me go to bus rail. And before I go to bus rail, this is Brianna's last meeting. I am the chair.
So, I'm going to go ahead and summarize really quickly what happened in the budget for rail. And we have found a couple of issues that are undergoing future active design. One of them is Chinatown Gallery Plate, Pentagon City, and the National Airport Metro Station. So they're undergoing the third active design, which you can read up in the middle. And then we had a motion on the floor, which I'm now going to the floor now. I'm making a motion, so don't run out of the property. Okay, so the motion that we had for the budget of rail and the brains and the AAC is that the whiteboard that Metro bought and have provided to 93 stations throughout the Metro rail system. But the employees themselves don't even know about it, how customers know about it. So the motion is that Metro Ramada has to take upon the responsibility to advertise, market the act that they have the right words available to the public, not just to its employees, but to the public. So, do I have anyone have any motion?
Do we have any discussion? All those in favor of this motion from bus rail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, those abstaining, thank you, Brianna. Go ahead.
Thank you. And finally, we all said goodbye to Brian Miller, who is hyper-serving chair of the subcommittee for several years now, so it's not me and Mr. Edwards. It's not my last meeting as well. It's been a pleasure to serve with you all.
We have one more motion that was passed. And that was for the elevators at the rail stations. That staff had changed the default on the elevators so that they now default to the mezzanine rather than the street. And we passed a motion recommending that the AAC move forward, recommending that the default for mezzanine to street elevators be the street. So cold weather, wet weather, windy weather, you would be standing out in the street waiting for the elevator. The response that Mr. Blake sent to us to that was that they had changed that to alleviate the crowding on the platforms, and that's fine for the elevators that go from the platform to the mezzanine, or from the platform to the street. But for the mezzanine street elevators, the default ought to be the street. And so we did pass that motion to bus rail to move up to AAC, and so I'm making the same motion now with AAC.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion as provided by bus rail, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed and those abstaining. Thank you.
Well, Jeremy.
Hang on. Who has the floor? Doris, go ahead quickly.
I didn't hear anything about, and I wasn't able to be there, about renovations or whatever at the Pentagon City and National Airport. And so I'm sure that's in the minutes, but I would like to urge the committee that that any changes that are being considered right now should be communicated to the Alexandria Commission on Persons with Disabilities and the Arlington County Disability Advisory Commission, which I'm a member.
Okay.
And that it be done very, very soon and involve them in this process, as was done when the Pentagon efforts was also directed.
Thank you, Doris. Okay. And I think this committee would like to express its thanks to both Brianna and Brian Miller
for the services of this committee. This is Brianna's last meeting. And Brian Miller. Thank you. Do I have a motion on the floor?
Mr. Chair, this is B. Before you, you close the meeting, I just want to remind members and the public that Metro is inviting the AAC for a show and tell on the between the car barriers for the 7000 series rail cars. It's going to take place on Wednesday, June 14th, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon at the Greenbelt Station. I'll forward the email out again. If anybody is interested or you want to share it with someone else, please do so, and then we can send it from there.
And our next meeting is going to be July 3rd, correct?
The next AAC meeting?
Correct.
Yeah, we're meeting on July 4th out back.
No, July 3rd. July 3rd.
Yes, sir, July 3rd.
Okay. I won't be here, but my vice chair is still. My vice chair is okay. Okay, do I have a motion? Do I have a motion?
Yeah, yeah.